welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
Hello, Seeds. It's so good to be able to be here with you today to come and share with you God's Word. Part of my heart is here. As some of you would know, I spent some time here and coming to be a part of your service once again, it's just a joy to me. I just love being a part of Seeds. So thanks to Jonathan for inviting me to come. Now, this preaching online is a terrible thing. You see, in the old days when we used to meet in a building, if you didn't like the sermon, if it went on for too long, or if you just got a little bored, or you just had to sit there, you couldn't get up and leave because everyone would see you, and certainly the preacher would see you. But online, you can leave anytime you want, and no one knows. If you get bored, just turn it off. So these are really tough days to be a preacher. So my first hope this morning is that you won't switch off, that you will actually stay listening. Actually, that's my hope for every week that you're watching online. But this morning, I just pray, or today, I just pray that you will just stay tuned, that you'll stay listening. My second hope is that God will speak to you and that you will be just incredibly encouraged. When life doesn't go the way we want, and that is certainly our reality now, people become discouraged. We start to focus on all the negatives and we lose sight of who we really are. The world and its circumstance start to really influence us. So today, because Jonathan said I can preach on whatever I wanted, I thought I would have a look at who are we. Because so often we forget who we really are. And because the world keeps trying to shape us into who it wants us to be. So before I get into that, let's just bring God into this moment. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again that your word is powerful. We thank you that your spirit is always with us, teaching and guiding us. And we just pray today that as we open your word, that we will be encouraged, that your spirit will speak to us, and that we'll actually draw closer to you and your ways, and we'll know exactly who we are in you, and we'll be encouraged by that. So come, Holy Spirit. Just come and be a part of this moment. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read two passages of Scripture. The first is from Psalm 144, verses 1 to 4. It says this: "Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me. Lord, what are human beings that you care for them, mere mortals that you think of them? They are like a breath. Their days are a fleeting shadow." Now, the second reading I want to read from is from Judges, and it's about a guy called Gideon. You've probably heard this a lot of times. "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak of Ophrah," not the woman Ophrah, but a place, a tree, "that belonged to Joash and Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' 'Pardon me, my Lord,' Gideon replied, 'but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian.' The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. And I'm sending you.' 'Pardon me, my Lord,' Gideon replied. 'But how can you say save? How can I say save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family.' The Lord answered, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midians, leaving none alive.'" Now, I've got a few questions this morning. The first is, who are you? And by that, I don't mean, what is your name, or what do you do, or what do you want, or what are your family connections? I mean, who are you? What gives you value? What gives you worth? Why are you here? What is your significance? Now these are tough questions. Now, I was doing my devotions just the other morning, and I read from Psalm 144, and verses 3 and 4 stood out for me. Lord, what are human beings that you care for them? Mere mortals that you think of them. They are like the breath, their days are like fleeting shadows. Now, those two verses in isolation of the whole psalm are really negative. But I began to think, who am I? What value do I have? Here we have God, creator of heaven and earth, creator of billions of galaxies, everything and everyone that has ever existed, God did that. The estimation is that there have been 108 billion people that have existed throughout time. And you and I are just one of those 108 billion people. Now, no offense, but that really makes you and I as individuals just a little insignificant. We're just one in 108 billion. Nobody really knows me. Well, I have a few friends and I have my family. So a few people know me. On Facebook, I have, I think, 613 friends, but most of them have got no idea who I am. They just clicked yes. So they don't really know me. They've just accepted me as friends. So who are we? In the midst of all creation, do we really have any true significance? If I live or die, seemingly it doesn't have any real impact on the rest of the world and on human history. You see, every second someone dies, and every second someone is born, and I don't know them. I don't feel their grief, and I don't experience the joy. I mean, who knows me? Who knows you? Just very few people. Now, I've been thinking a lot about that, and I don't know how you're feeling, but when I think of that, I feel somewhat insignificant. Yet, for some reason, you and I are loved by God. We're valued, we are honoured, we are held in high esteem, we are gifted, we are filled with the very Spirit of God. And as a result, we can achieve far more than we ever dreamed possible. Gideon, from our reading in Judges, we're told, was the least in his family, and his family the least in their community. So I suspect he had no real confidence, no real hope, no real purpose. He probably thinks he has no value at all. But he is called Mighty Warrior by God. He is told that God is with him and God has chosen him, that he has value and God is going to use him in a powerful way to change the lives of many. Gideon probably lived with many voices telling him he was no good and of no value. Voices from his childhood, as his family were the least in the village. Voices from an enemy that ruled over them. We often have voices that tell us we are no good, that we have little value, that we won't achieve anything very much, that we won't really make a difference. Voices that put us down and devalue us. Voices that speak silently into our hearts and minds that say we are not really loved. But as was with Gideon, the same is true for us. These voices are not the voice of God. These voices do not speak the truth of who we are. What is the truth? Who are you really? What is your value? How does God see you? Well, firstly, you're a child of God. In John 1:12, it says, "But to all who have received him, those who believe in his name, he has given the right to become God's children." As you come into a relationship with God, you come into his family. You come under his care. You come under his protection. You and I are brothers and sisters in the family of God. You are a child who is deeply loved by a heavenly Father, by a creator of the universe. Now that in and of itself truly does make you significant. But secondly, as a child of God, you are also a fellow heir with Christ. In Romans 8 verse 17 it says, "And if children, then heirs, namely heirs of God and also fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so we may also be glorified with him." Now, I have to tell you, I love this verse. But there are so many people that really don't understand or grasp the real significance of what it means to be an heir. Children are the ones who are provided for by their parents. Children are the one who will inherit everything from their parents. And as we are heirs of God, God is the one who promises to provide for us today and forever. So many Christians struggle in life because they keep trying to provide for themselves. They don't allow God to provide for them. Being an heir of God is not just about God providing for us. It is also about growing in our faith to trust that God, as it says in Philippians 4:19, will supply all our needs to his riches by the glory of Christ Jesus Christ, by the glory of Christ Jesus. Out of God's infinite resources as heirs, he promises to meet all our needs. Now, I have to tell you, how good is that? I think so many people live in the lack of what they're trying to get for themselves and don't live in the plenty and the blessing that God has for us. We're heirs. We're children and brought into a family, but we're also heirs of Christ to inherit all that God has. That's just amazing. But we're more than that. Thirdly, and this is a great thing, you are not condemned by God. In Romans 8:1 it says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So many people walk around in life living daily in guilt and shame over what they have done or what they have said. For some people, these feelings are just overwhelming and it dictates what they do and how they say and how they live and how they feel about themselves. But God says we are not condemned. We are totally forgiven. We are unconditionally loved. We do not need to hold on to guilt and shame because God has taken it away. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't judge us anymore. He's already dealt with that through Christ on a cross. This is who we are, totally forgiven and loved. And we need to remember this, and not only remember it, we need to accept that in our lives and in all that we do. And again, so many people hold on to guilt and shame when God has already dealt with it. And so my encouragement for you, even this morning, is that you just give that back to God because you're not condemned. You're loved and you're set free. Now, fourthly, and this one I really love. The others are great and really, really significant, but I really like this one. You see, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? I love this idea that the creator of the universe, who created you and me, and as I said before, galaxy upon galaxy upon galaxy, he created all of that, yet he desperately wants to dwell in us. He wants to be part of our life, and he has sent his Spirit to actually come upon us, but not just upon us, to dwell in us so that we can actually have the full experience of who God is, that we would be strengthened to resist temptation, that he would heal us when things come upon us or upon friends of ours, that we would be guided, that we would be protected. Isn't it amazing to think that God's Spirit dwells in us to provide all of that for us? Again, so often we just live life in our own strength, not realizing that the very Spirit of God is in us, guiding, protecting, forgiving, loving, reminding, shaping, molding. It's just an incredible thing as Christians that we have that. And so often we just don't, again, tap into the very resource that God has placed in us, himself. And he does that because he wants to have such an intimate, close relationship with us, and he wants us to be all that he created us to be. One of the things we as Christians need to learn to do is to live our lives according to how God sees us, not how the world tells us we are. You see, God sees us very differently from how we see ourselves. You see, you are a child of God. You are an heir with Christ. You are not condemned by God in any way. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, these are just four things as to who we really are, how God truly sees us. But there is so much more that I don't even have time to talk about or to really go in depth. You see, you are a new creature in Christ. You've been made one with Christ Jesus. You are chosen, you are holy, you are blameless before God. Because of God's mercy and love, you've been made alive in Christ. You've been chosen by God. You're a friend of God. You've been justified and redeemed. You've been set free from the law of sin and death. You've been called a saint. You've become the righteousness of God in Christ. You've been set free in Christ. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You are redeemed and forgiven by the grace of God. You have been made complete in Christ. Now, how good is that? That is who we are. That is what the scriptures tell us God thinks of us and what he does for us because he is so close to us. The truth is, you are not what the world tells you you are. You're not what the negative voice keeps telling you in your mind and in your heart that you are. You're not what Satan is tempting you to become. In the midst of pain, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of difficult times, with unclear futures, and we're certainly in that now, as Christians, we have incredible security in God as being part of his family. Isn't that amazing? I have to tell you, it's unbelievably exciting to know that. And so often we forget that. And it's good to be reminded of who we truly are. Now, here's my next question. So how do we respond knowing who we truly are? Knowing how much God loves us, knowing that he created us because he wanted to be with us forever. How do we respond? Well, this is what the Bible says. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, having been created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, we're God's workmanship. He's created us. And he's created us to be with him through Jesus Christ forever. But he's also created us for good works that he's already prepared for us to do. See, God's hope is that all people will come and experience who they are in him. That we get to know that and we get to experience it, but God's hope is everybody will get to experience who they are, who they were created to be, get to experience the love and the forgiveness and the grace of God. And God says, once we've experienced that, part of our role then is to share that with others, that we get to share the love of God with people who desperately need to know that. All people were created to know God and to live in the purposes that he has for them. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to really know who you are in God and not allow voices from outside to change that, because they're lies and God's word is truth. And that we then would step into a broken world with that very presence of God in us to remind other people that they are loved and valued, that they're significant, that they have a purpose and a hope, and there is a God who is calling them to be a part of his world for eternity. You see, that's who we are. That's who God's created us to be. And I have to tell you, how awesome is that? How awesome that that's who we are. Hey, let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for who you are, because who you are makes us who we are. And some of us would have forgotten that, and some of us maybe hadn't even realized that. But Father, I pray right now that your Spirit who is in us would just reveal again who we truly are. That if there is any guilt and shame, if there is any doubt in us, that even right now we would feel through the power of your Spirit a cleansing, a freeing, a setting free of that, and that we would get to just again feel so close to you and significant in your family. And Father, I pray for so many people that don't yet know that. And maybe there are some who are watching this right now, and you're feeling something you've never felt before, and this is God who is just drawing you to him. And maybe even right now you could just say, God, I don't understand all of this, but I have this sense that you're true and that you're calling me, and there is so much more I don't know, but I just want to thank you that I am forgiven, that I am set free, that guilt and shame can be taken away and I can live for you. And please just show me more of that. Father, I just thank you again that you're an awesome God who's called us to be a part of your family, not because we deserve it, but because you desire it. And I pray that we'd never forget that and that we'd enjoy that forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.